Hi everyone, welcome to UX Diary. I'm your co-host Roxanne here with Tanbir.
Hi listeners, we would like to talk to you about UX and marketing, so let's get started.
So the idea for this episode came about from an observation that I made when I was visiting home. My colleagues and I went to have a poke bowl meal for lunch. And I was so shocked, you know, the price of a poke bowl was almost 3 times the price of economy rice. Economy rice is very popular in Southeast Asia. So a little bit of a context here. Poke bowl is actually a dish originated in Hawaii, where the main ingredient is diced raw tuna fish salad, which is also known as poke. If you go to stores, you could order poke served on a bowl of rice. And with economy rice, you can also select, you know, multiple side dishes, and that will be served on a plate of rice. And so if you want to, you know, have an image reference to what we're talking about, you can visit our Instagram page, which is at UX_diary, and see what we're talking about. So, you know, you might say that the difference in price here could be due to multiple factors like location of the store, inflation, and other, like, what are the main ingredients? And I totally agree with you. But the reason why this really stood out to me was because poke bowl really took the world by storm. It has become such a trendy food choice in the big cities like New York City and Kuala Lumpur, and people would actually pay a high price for them. And as I was trying to figure out why this is the case, I thought maybe it is because of the customer journey. You know, with so many people pursuing a healthier lifestyle today, I think that customers really appreciate the ability to choose what ingredients go into their meal. So poke bowl restaurants really capitalize on that. You know, no longer is poke bowl what you find in Hawaii, but these restaurants really apply UX design concepts, such as the metaphor of customization or personalization, by observing, you know, other brands. So I think that it's really much less about the dish itself, but more about how customers are being given the possibility to decide on a micro level what they eat, you know?
Yeah, I think I completely agree with that. Like, at a point, like, initially when you told me about this idea, I didn't realize, like, what pokeball was, because, like, in Europe it is not a thing that much. Mm-hmm. Or at least, like, in Constance it is not. Like, maybe in bigger cities it would be. The reason it stood out for me, I think, like, the metaphors that you were talking about is a very right way to go along with it, because in US, like, Starbucks coffee is pretty much famous. Mm-hmm. And, like, people like to customize, like, their coffee a lot. With my personal experience here in Europe, like, I was once at a cafe. Mm-hmm. And then I asked them I wanted a strong cappuccino, so I asked them, like, give me a cappuccino and just add a shot of espresso to it, and, like, mm-hmm. I'll just pay for both of them. And then the lady at the counter was super confused. She was like, why would we, like, we cannot do that for you. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty strange, right? So that is the kind of I think, like, somewhere I needed a level of customization there itself. Mm-hmm. The very same example can go ahead with Apple's engraving. Like, it is more of a personalization thing. So, like, if you order Apple online, I think it is just a thing in US right now. Mm-hmm. If you order it online, you can ask your personal message or your name to be engraved at the back of the iPad, I guess. Mm-hmm. That's the thing.
Yeah.
So Apple's engraving is less of a customization, but more of a personalization of, like, a belonging, like, this is my product or something like that.
Yeah.
So, like, you just feel more attached to it. But I think the same analogy with pokeball gives a sense of control to the consumer. It's more of a thing that the consumer feels that you are like cooking with your own ingredients. Like, you have the control over the cooking, but, like, without you being like needing to cook the food by yourself. And I think we are dealing with a different level of emotional impact here with the user. So, like, you just feel more into the driving seat. You are, like, more into control of what you are eating.
Mm-hmm. So even if you charge something that high, like 3 times the price, you know, for a bowl or for a meal, I think people would still buy it, don't you think? We can design something that they need and want, and hence people will buy it. Iris Grossman, who is a CEO strategist at Flipsnack, he said, quote, "I've always considered UX to be a big part of marketing." Mm-hmm. And, you know, UX also provides invaluable insight about what users do and about the psychology of users, which lead mm-hmm. to smarter marketing. And this is why, you know, UX design is so widely brought up concept in the field of marketing.
Yeah, I think so. It pretty much reminds me of the very initial, not initial stages, but like where major companies like Apple started with incorporating customer experience into their design itself. So like their more attention as a primary company, like as a pioneer into UX design, were on customer journey using Apple products. So like by prioritizing good design, they were looking at like also a good customer service. Like one of my friends who is definitely not an Apple user, but recently he bought an iPad as a gift for his girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And he was talking to me about like what stood out for him is like once he bought it, like he immediately received a support email like if everything is going good or not, or like even though the officials at the or the personnel at the store, they already helped him out with the Apple ID setup and everything. So it's more about like also the packaging that comes with it. So like the whole opening experience, the more personalized way of doing things. Mm-hmm. As we already talked about, they also give you an example of choosing the engraving if you want it to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like the customer journey, right?
Yeah, I think so. Like that is customer journey was pretty much an overlooked factor initially. Like marketing people used to have follow-up mm-hmm. emails, but like it was too much superficial. Now they are more personalized towards a particular user needs, like Amazon. And like I think like now since companies have more data to work upon, like they can go more into depth with personalizations of the or like more personal with the email.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have seen how UX plays such an important role in marketing. Let me play devil's advocate here, because I read a very good article that showed the clashes between UX and marketing.
Oh, okay. So Roxanne with her counter research.
Yeah. This article presents the perspective that the primary function of marketing is to sell something to a customer. Yet the primary function for UX is to actually serve the need of customers. So if the goal of marketing mm-hmm. is to create value for the business, and then the goal of the user experience is more to create value for the customers, I actually think that there might be some conflicting values there, you know? You know, give yourself a moment to think about the concept that I just presented, you know? It's an interesting brain teaser.
Yeah,
Can marketing driven by sales groove with UX discipline, which is all about the user's need? You know, for example, to make matters worse, I don't actually think that a UX designer could do a better job designing a cigarette, because I don't think cigarettes are good for people. On the other hand, okay. For a marketing person, I think that's all they want to do. They have to find a way to sell cigarettes. And so, you know, just to be clear, I'm actually not questioning anyone's morals or ethics here. It's just a hypothetical question. And we would like to put it out there as a discussion.
Here, like, it is more about team coming up with a solution. So like, I agree, like not totally agree with your point of view, but like, okay, that was a statement where you would say like the overall goal of both the teams, like UX and marketing, as you mentioned, like marketing is more mm-hmm. about business oriented or like getting business, and UX is more about bringing value to the customer. Yeah, that kind of a conflict might be there a bit of that because of the goals. Like, I think in a company setting, the marketing guys or like the sales guys, they have a different objective. They have to reach a certain numbers by certain times, like first fiscal year of the company mm-hmm. or something like that, or like a first quarter. Mm-hmm. For UX, it is more about how to bring value to the customer, in the sense like the whole experience of the product is better than their competition as mm-hmm. well. Like it is not necessary that you are the only company in the market, right? So once you deal with certain aspects in a better way, your market, even if you, you're charging customer a bit more, they will still buy it. Like, I don't know, like Apple is right now not the best example. Initially, Apple was the one of the good examples of it. Well, I think like initial years when Steve Jobs was still alive. But right now, it's just like Apple has gained edge and it is more of a brand identity. Like everyone in a society wants it like a brand as a show off. Like it's more of a society status, right? So like they have reached that point, but like initially, like they were into that kind of a thing. So like UX played a major role in marketing as well. So
yeah, and it create customer loyalty, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Like I think why after like using Apple products, I just realized it makes you addictive to its ecosystem. So like you have a Mac, you have a iPhone, like it's easier to set up. You can just switch between devices easily and stuff like that. But like pricing matters, like no matter what. Also like I don't know, like last time when we were taking a call, I think like just talking personally, we talked about like there can be two ways of going with a brand, right? Like make something really good and a bit really expensive, so like there is a very niche audience for something, so like less people buy it, but like company gains a similar amount of profit. Or make something really affordable and mass manufacture it and like so sell it to a huge masses, like since it is cheaply available, or it is cheaper than the other products in the market, it will be sold in larger quantities. So like that, those can be the two things. But pricing matters at the end of the day. Like you cannot experience a product in hours at a showroom. So like especially something like a smartphone. So like once you are like, if you want to experience an Apple product, I have experienced iPad Pro a lot many times, but I don't own one. So I don't know the exact user experience of it, how it would be. The similar thing happened to me when I wanted to experience Android phones, because I was really oriented toward iOS designs and I was like Apple philosophy mostly. And then I was like, no, like Google introduced material design, so like I should also look into it. But like once I used like an Android phone for 6 hours, I didn't realize until you incorporate it into your daily lifestyle. So that is one of the things. So making good products accessible, like products with good user experience accessible as well, like to the masses with like a good pricing point, is an important point, I would say. That's when marketing and UX should overlap, like they should come to a better trade-offs. So like better understanding. So like that understanding can be achieved through trade-offs itself, I think. So that's my personal opinion. But like when I also talk to some of my seniors or of my to my professors who taught me user experience design, or like when I used to discuss with them, they are like, it totally boils down to trade-offs at the end of the day, even when it is about user research, when it is about adding more functionality to it.
Yeah, so so that's why the reason why I bring in this article is for us to really, you know, try to look from both parties. Yes, there may be conflicting values, but if we exchange ideas and understand where both parties are coming from, it's where we learn to find that compromise. Because, you know, one does not exist, definitely does not exist separately from the other. They both coexist and they both, you know, work hand in hand together to make any products, any customer experience better, so that business can thrive and gain revenue.
Yeah, I think so,
right?
Like although the like of course the point of view you mentioned earlier regarding them being opposing, or like there being friction between the goals of the two teams, like UX and marketing, I agree to that. But also then it boils down to the company's philosophy, the work culture your company embraces, right? So like if your company wants that kind of like a good understanding between these two, then like the company will go with effective trade-offs. Like then it comes down to discussion between different teams and like they sit together. I think like we are pretty much living in an era right now that the like different teams, like R&D, research and development departments, design, development, like just the software department and like the marketing department cannot be standalone things. Like they should overlap, they should communicate. Which is I think a good way to deal with it. So like like as we are talking about overlaps now, let's I would like to like just shift into a bit into UX and marketing overlaps. So like in the earlier stages, like for example, in the earlier stages of a UX lifecycle of contextual inquiry or like requirement gathering, I think marketing research can also play a significant, it can contribute significantly in that process as well. Because sometimes salespeople or marketing people, they're communicating like on phone personally or in meetings with their potential customers, right? So they can gauge what kind of a requirement there is from the customer. So like usually in UX also they teach us like don't listen to what user is saying, but look at what user is doing, right?
Yeah, you don't want to be explicitly asking. Instead, you want to just observe user in their natural habitat using a product, exactly. For example, right?
So I think like in the initial stages, when you don't have a prototype or like a MVP to have a usability testing, that's when marketing research can help like user experience designers with the initial requirement gathering, like what they think or they gauged from the conversation with the potential customers, right? What their needs were. So that is where I think the overlap comes in. So like a too rigorous focus on business conversion, like it like often undermines the user experience of a digital product. And like in like this in the long run can harm the product itself. Like on other hand, when you consider a mobile app or a website like as a valuable marketing asset and accordingly give priority to generating a great user experience, it pretty much helps to make it more marketable in long run. So this is why it is essential to strike a balance between UX and marketing. Like specifically, I think like I gave an example of mobile app and website. So like digital marketing in that sense. I think since we are on the term of over like the common points between marketing and UX, I think like the research methods, they also overlap significantly. Like marketing is also informed by consumer behaviors, and like they also have similar research techniques. Like as a HCI student, and like you also learned interaction design previously. So like I think like we all learned about interviews and focus groups and creating personas. So like we create personas for UX journeys. I think marketing people create also create user personas of like what a potential customer would look like, or like what will be the properties of a potential customer. So and like also marketing people have surveys. So like we as a student we have also conducted surveys. I think like last time I remember you conducted a survey on SurveyMonkey, I guess. Like you were planning to conduct a survey when
I use SurveyMonkey. You know, there are tools that out there that, you know, people can use just to have users kind of do a survey, and that's a very easy way to collect data.
So I think like that is one of the things like I can think of right now with the overlaps between marketing and UX. But like also these this also leads to a thing, a thought in my mind that both the teams can learn a lot from each other. Like marketing teams can learn to be more empathetic. Like I'm not asking them to be so empathetic that like just think about the user and like have losses for the company, like give stuff for free. That's not what I'm talking about, but like less profits. Like it's not just about making money. Like you can just reduce the prices a bit and like make it more accessible, or like make it more into the budget of the potential customer. So like it's not always about money, but it's about creating value.
Exactly. Yeah, creating value is, I think, a very important term here. You know, it's not just about money.
Yes, I
but
think like
creating value.
Even in digital marketing, we are pretty much in an era where like if you create value, you can generate more revenue. In fact, because like word of mouth is also like is one of the thing, right? So like the kind of advertisement or like goodwill you get after you have helped or like brought value to your potential customer, it really creates a different impact in that case. For UX teams or like for UX people, on the other hand, I think like designers still need to understand the need to gain revenue. Like ads and digital marketing, while it may be annoying, it is also necessary. So I think like understanding specific businesses, like I can definitely relate to this one. Like as a UX designer, I've understood that I lack such an incline. So I'm also trying to keep it as a conscious balance within myself. Like, for example, like in my previous company where I was working, there was a marketing mail pop-up, like sign up for a newsletter or something like that, which I feel is really annoying. Like, I don't know, like, and I was like, it's a bad UX, like you should not keep it, or like why are you showing it? It's just hampering the flow of the user reading or something like that. But now I later, like with constant learning and like looking at trends, I realized like it is necessary for client conversion. Like you cannot just be too much inclined into one thing. Like you should be empathetic to users, but also to the other departments of the company. Like marketing people also need that kind of a feature inside the website, right?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And this is where like both of us are in quite an agreement that it's so important for us, you know, upcoming designers or just, you know, learning to be better designers, to be conscious about how, you know, certain decisions are made and why they are made, you know, on the UX side, as from a designer's perspective. Yes, you know, designing something that user customer needs is very important, but at the same time, without money you can't do anything, you can't do your research. And on the other hand, for marketing teams, yes, profit is important, but if you think about creating value, you allow this business to be sustainable because you're creating a longer term kind of loyalty with your customers, with your users.
Definitely.
And in other words, I'm basically trying to say that, you know, we as designers need to be a big picture thinker, and with that, embrace the different departments of a company and understand how each department work hand in hand to make things work. So here's a question for our listeners. Have you ever had any experience where exploring unconventional methods or domain benefited your design thinking process? If you have, if you would like, share us a voice message on Anchor or leave us a comment Facebook and Instagram page. We would like to share that with our listeners the following episode. Thank you very much. We hope that you enjoyed listening to our episode and gain a little bit from what we have shared about UX and marketing, and hope you'll continue listening to us.
Yeah. See you next week and have a great week ahead.
Ciao.